Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you this morning. I know it was a little chillier this morning than it was a couple of days ago, but summer's on its way. We're going to be complaining about the heat here before no time. But it is good to see you today, and we see Brother Joe and Miss Pat coming in there. We're glad to have her here. And there's Mr. and Ms. Barrett has visiting with us today. It's been a while since we've had them in Sunday school, so we're glad to see them. And the rest of you, I think, are fairly regular folks. So it is good to see you today, and we'll go ahead and try to get started, give Philip all the time we can. Good morning, Pat. It's good to have you.
It's good to be here.
Amen. Okay. I'll go ahead and just give you a few announcements to start with, and then we'll talk about the prayer list. On this coming Thursday, May the 1st, will be the ladies' Bible study at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. here. 10 a.m. in the Family Life. I believe they're in the Family Life, maybe over there in the Homemakers. And then 7 p.m. over in the Mission House. Then on Saturday, May the 3rd, at 9:30, we'll have our outreach and visitation. If you're part of that, you can come out to that. I'm going to go ahead and say happy birthday to Phil Deakins. I know he's not here today. Miss Debbie's been in the hospital, but I do understand that she got to go home the other day. And so we're still praying for her. But Phil's going to be another year older on the 27th. And then Miss Lisa Sizemore on the 28th. And Miss Christine Searcy, one of our shut-ins, on the 28th. So happy birthday to all of you, and we pray that you have a good day. Next Sunday on May the 4th, we're going to have Nate Schaefer and his family from Iceland. So they'll be here next Sunday to share with us some of their things that are going on up in Iceland, and We would just be excited to hear from them. Missionaries, it's good to have them in, good to hear what they're being involved in these different places. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the prayer list. We're praying for Summer Scroggs and also Mr. Marty, Miss Tracy, as Summer goes through these times, valleys that she's dealing with, and we pray that God is going to give her a clear view, a clear path forward. And so as she works with this health situation, y'all remember her in prayer. And then, of course, we're still praying for Leslie Farmer and Larry and Linda. I noticed Larry's not here today, and he's usually faithful to be here, so let's pray for him also. But, you know, when your children's going through things like this, it affects the whole family. It affects everybody. So let's keep these families in our prayers. And then not only them, but we've got some others that we're paying attention to. I've already mentioned Debbie Deakins. Of course, she's on the cancer list. And then Bob Daniels, I think that he went down to Vanderbilt on Wednesday, and he's got to go back to Vanderbilt on this coming Tuesday. And this time he's going to stay for about 3 days. So y'all remember Bob as he's going down there to see if there's anything that they can help him with. So Brother Bob and Sheila And then we're praying for Roger Cox. I know that Roger's having a rough time, and I sent him a text the other day, and he texts back, and he said that he appreciated our prayers. And I know that's for everyone in the church. He appreciates the prayers that y'all pray for him. So pray that God have his will and way. We have also got a lot of people on the list that have miscellaneous problems. I know my wife this morning is homesick. She's got this head stuff, ear infections, sinuses, all of that stuff. So that's going around. And then we hear tell that there's still some COVID that's being popping up here and there. So we need to pray for folks, you know, in this spring type weather that get sick. Before I go on, is there anyone that has an unspoken by uplifted hand? Anybody? 1, 2, 3. Okay. All right. Those unspokens are very important too. So let's not forget them. Okay. Let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask him to bless these and to help these people. It is good to see you here today. And we're just so thankful. God is good every day. Father, we come to you this morning. And Lord, we are so thankful, dear God, for your blessings to us. And God, I pray that you'll watch over these names that have been mentioned. And God, there's several on here, Lord. I know that some of them we're praying special for, like Miss Summer and Leslie and Roger Cox, and Lord, not only them, but the others that were mentioned. And then, Lord, we had some hands raised here this morning of unspoken requests, and God, you know about those also. You know what's on the hearts of the people. And Lord, I do come to you this morning. I remember those that are just dealing with springtime things and sicknesses, dear Lord. We pray that you'll bless them, dear God, and you'll help them get through this. And then, Lord, also want to bring up my son. He's got malignancy on his nose. We're praying for him, praying that they'll be able to do something to get that off. And, Father, just thank you for answered prayer. God, we've had many prayers that's been answered. And, Lord, do want to pray for Miss Frances Lawson this morning. She's still suffering from a fall. And so as we come to you now, we pray for Brother Philip. We pray, dear God, that you'll give him what you want us to have. And then, Lord, praying for our pastor. And we're praying for all the things that are going on to church, Lord. A lot of things that are going around on around the world. And God, just pray that you'll bless and you'll help. You'll give our pastor strength, dear God, to oversee these things. And God, that you'll help us to be faithful to you and to glorify you in all that we do. And Father, we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's read our text again. James chapter 1 and verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In this text, there is a divine purpose in view, as we shall see in the following verses. Divers temptations, manifold temptations in this text, are a means to an end, to be made perfect, entire, wanting nothing. But before we pass from troubles to what God wants to achieve from them, I would like to make one more observation about divers temptations. Pain, affliction, loss, sickness, all of these fall under temptations. You and I are very familiar with these things. Sometimes pain never ends. Sometimes the affliction is never cured. Sometimes the loss is permanent. As terrible as Job's afflictions were, and the loss that he suffered, they in time came to a blessed end. Job chapter 42. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Verse 12. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. Isn't that wonderful? Wouldn't that be nice if all of our pain and suffering and loss had such a wonderful resolution? But we know that it doesn't always. Amen. Sometimes we suffer and never know why. When Job suffered, he didn't know why. You and I got a view into that heavenly throne room in Job chapter 1, verse 6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth?" Now, you and I get a view of this, but Job did not. Amen? All Job knew is that all of a sudden he had lost everything. His family, his possessions, and eventually he lost his health. He did not know why. And many times when we suffer, we have absolutely no reason. There is no whys or wherefores. All we know is that we suffer. I was going to say that the illness is sometimes incurable, but no illness is incurable. That's the wrong way to say it. Amen? God can cure every illness. What we need to understand is sometimes he leaves it uncured. Even Paul, who had the gift of healing, said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 20, "But Trophimus have I left at Miletum sick." To be left behind sick, and there was no remedy. Not even Paul. There was no remedy. Sometimes the loss is permanent and irreversible. As heart-wrenching as Abraham's trial was concerning the offering of Isaac, God did stop it and give him his son back. But that doesn't happen all the time. Sometimes God takes them from us. It would be nice if in our suffering there was some great purpose. If we could say with Joseph after all of his suffering what he said in Genesis chapter 45 and verse 7, "And God sent me before you to preserve you of posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God." Boy, if we could say that, if we knew we had some great purpose in our suffering, wouldn't we be able to endure it and be glad that we were called upon to suffer it? Amen? But sometimes we have no idea what the purpose is. There is such an example in the Bible, by the way. You are not alone. Look with me in Luke chapter 16. Some of you already know where I'm going. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And notice this, and it came to pass that the beggar died. Now, you and I know that this is a brother of ours, correct? We take this passage literally because God's using proper names here. This is not a parable. This actually happened. These were real people, and this was a real brother of ours. We know that because he went to paradise, amen? When he died, the angels carried him straight to Abraham's bosom. He was a beggar. Our brother in Christ begging his bread. Not only that, he was laid at the rich man's gate. He could not get there himself. So it is an indication that he was not only a beggar and abjectly poor, but he was also an invalid. He could not get there himself. He either had the palsy or some other horrible affliction. But they took him and laid him at the rich man's gate. So, and it says, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, we know that people that are infirm and spend a lot of time in bed, they get what's called pressure sores, ulcers, because they're not turned enough, and the skin and muscle and all the way down to the bone turns necrotic. Possibly that's what happened to him. Or he just had some horrible disease. Do you see your brother there leaning against the wall in the hot sun, begging his bread, full of sores? His only ministers are dogs. And dogs' mouths are full of bacteria, by the way. And by the way, these men that laid him there at the gate, they were not the Good Samaritans of Luke chapter 10, you remember. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds. Nobody bound up Lazarus's wounds. There they were, open sores to be licked by dogs. Pouring in oil and wine and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. These are not good Samaritans. They don't even feed him. They put him out there to beg his bread. Here he is suffering. Our brother in Christ suffering. And then you saw it there in verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died. He died a beggar. He didn't even get what he was sent there to do, which was to beg bread. Just some crumbs that would fall from the rich man's table. He didn't even get that. He either died of starvation, or he died of his diseases, or he did not, died of neglect. Now, if you're not careful, you're going to fall into a mindset, the very mindset the disciples had when they saw the man born blind. They said to Jesus in John chapter 9 and verse 1, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, 'Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" Boy, every time we see a terrible situation, we want to put some meaning to it, don't we? Why is he suffering these things? And why is this beggar, this our brother, why is he called upon to suffer and to suffer and to suffer and then to die? We look for answers, don't we? Sometimes we can't find them. And if we're not careful, we'll think he's some terrible sinner, amen? Eliphaz, one of Job's friends, fell into the same error in Job chapter 4 and verse 7. "Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off? Even as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness reap the same." Boy, to have to suffer like Job and to hear that from his friend. But was it true? It is possible. We know it wasn't true with Job, by the way, because it said in Job chapter 1 and verse 8, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" He was the apparently epitome of Christianity in his day, and yet we see him exactly like Lazarus. Poor. God took everything that he had. Diseased. And if we take Lazarus and the fact that he was carried by these men and laid at the rich man's gate, he had no family. If he had had some family, surely they would have fed him at least, amen? So he either had no family or they didn't care. It is possible that Lazarus was one of the greatest Christians of his day. Amen? It is quite possible that there was a meeting in heaven before Lazarus ended up in that condition, just as there was a meeting in heaven in Job's day. We don't know. But the point is, he did not know. He did not know why he was called upon to suffer and why his suffering never ended. Now, you can read on in this passage and see what great comfort God gave him afterwards, because there is comfort for him. I won't go into it. The angels and Abraham's bosom, there's so much to see there. But that's not my point today. What I would like for you to look at next is 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to look at a couple of verses. First Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house." Here it is. "An holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." Now, you can study this out yourself, spiritual sacrifices. There are several that you and I, as a holy priesthood, are to offer to God. We find one of them in this same book, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. You can turn there. "But I have all," verse 18, "but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." Now, we know in this text that what this is these people had given of their wealth to Paul in his missionary journeys. It was just missionary giving. And you and I do that. This is a sacrifice, well-pleasing to God, amen, for you to support the work of the ministry. It's a wonderful thing. It's one of the spiritual sacrifices of us, a holy priesthood that we offer to God. But there's another one. You might not have money to give to missions, amen? Some people do not. They find themselves in this Christian life very poor. But notice with me another sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Months ago, it's hard to believe I've been teaching that long, to another month, and I'll have been teaching you guys a year. It's hard to imagine. Months ago, I told you of a man I saw on Facebook. His name is Michael Murray. The camera was pointed at a desk and a chair, empty, and from the left comes a man shuffling in to the view of the camera. And he was terribly afflicted. He had cerebral palsy. Do you remember this? Now, you know about cerebral palsy, I'm sure. It's one of those things that affects the motor coordination. And so he shuffled in, is all I can say. That's one of those afflictions where it draws up your arms like this, and you can't walk right, and you can't talk right. So he shuffles up, and he sits down, and of course, my attention is immediately arrested. What is going on? And he said, my name is Michael Murray, something of that nature. I'm not mocking him. I'm giving you the idea. This man is afflicted from birth. And he sits down, and he says, my name is Michael Murray, and I was born with cerebral palsy, and I want you to know that God has taught me about his grace and mercy, and I thank him for my affliction. Do you think that the fruit of his lips, giving praise to God in his affliction, is of a different quality to somebody that thanks God for their good health? I thank God. Don't you? Many times you do. Here this man is, and he will never be healed of his cerebral palsy. He will die with cerebral palsy. It's not that it's incurable. It's just that it will not be cured in this life. And yet he's praising God and thanking him for his mercy and grace. I say to you that he is a holy priest offering a sacrifice of praise to God. His lips, do you think that it's acceptable, well-pleasing to God? I think so. Do you think his praise, knowing he will never be cured, might be of a different quality from somebody who has been sick and has been healed and they're thanking God for healing them? And I do that, by the way, and we should do that, by the way, and we should be grateful. But this man's never going to be healed, and yet still from the altar of his heart, this royal priest is offering up praise to God. During the Civil War, around 500,000 men died. 500,000, can you imagine? In those 4 years, what carnage. But do you know that people were still dying and suffering of everyday ailments? I read the account of a general who was writing to his wife upon the death of their beloved daughter-in-law. They had already lost their daughter, Annie. Their daughter-in-law, his grandchildren, her children, had already died of typhus as young children. This was happening as he was fighting the Civil War. They had already lost two of their young grandchildren to typhus, and she contacted, I think it was diphtheria, and died while her husband was in a prisoner of war camp, suffering upon suffering, loss upon loss. This is what he said in a letter to his wife. What a glorious thought that it is that she has joined her little cherubs and our angel Annie in heaven. He goes on in his letter to his wife. Thus, link by link, is the strong chain broken that binds us to this earth and our passage soothed to another world. Oh, that we may be at last united in that heaven of rest where trouble and sorrow never enter, to join in an everlasting chorus of praise and glory to our Lord and Savior. Now, let me ask you, do you think that that fruit of his lips was a sacrifice well-pleasing to God? In his loss that was permanent, he was able to praise God and to find something that brought glory to God in all of that. It was an odor of a sweet smell. In Psalm chapter 22, verse 3, it says, "But thou art holy, O thou," now listen to this, "O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." He dwells in our praises. Can you imagine how pleased he is when he has called upon somebody to suffer and to have loss, and they from that bed of affliction, of loneliness, of pain, from their lips praise their God, find something in all of their affliction to be thankful for and to praise God for? My Bible says that God inhabits those praises. Now, that's an amazing thing to me. I don't know how that is, but I believe there's a biblical illustration of it that we find in Judges chapter 13. If you want to turn there, verse 17, you're familiar with the passage. It's the meeting of the angel with the parents of Samson, a most remarkable man in the Old Testament. And in verse 17, "And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, What is thy name, that when these sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor?" And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Why askest thou after my name, seeing it is secret?" Manoah took a kid with a meat offering and offered it upon a rock unto the Lord, and the angel did wondrously. What is the wondrous thing that he did? And Manoah and his wife looked on. For it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame. He inhabits the praises of Israel. What a wonderful illustration. Folks, you and I might be suffering the flame of suffering is most terrible, and I'm sorry that you're suffering, and I'm sorry that it's not healed. I'm sorry that there's no answer, that there's no, to you, no seeming reason of the why. You're just called to suffer. But from that altar of your heart rises a flame that the very God of heaven, because this is a pre-incarnation of Jesus Christ, that the very God of heaven joins himself with that praise that's rising from the altar of your heart in the middle of your pain. Now we're going to see purpose in this text, because this is dealing with the trial of our faith. There's lots to see and to learn, but before we got into that, I just wanted to talk about pain and sorrow and loss that sometimes is unexplainable, that sometimes is unending, but that there is an opportunity in it to glorify God in a way that we will never have in heaven. We only have this opportunity to praise God in this setting and to bring an unbelievable glory to God. Let's not fail, amen. If we're called upon to suffer, let's be careful that we praise God, the fruit of our lips. It's a sacrifice. Folks, you and I are a royal priesthood. We are here to what did it say? To offer up sacrifices unto God. And one of those is the fruit of our lips in the middle of our suffering. Heavenly Father, thank you for these folks. Bless us as we continue on in our study, as we pass away from troubles and get into the whys and wherefores of this text and its purpose in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, folks.